Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now, let's get started with Results Driven.
Hello, and welcome to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from my financial planning firm, High Value Consulting. If you'd like more information, I want to hear more about our show today, you can give us a call at 484-431-2874, or you can visit us online at highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page, check out the past shows, and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. You've probably heard the tales of people who were born into wealth or lucked into a big windfall. But here's the truth. Many of today's wealthy retirees didn't start that way. They began with a modest savings and built real wealth through consistent strategic money habits. It's about consistency and habits. Thankfully, you don't need deep pockets to borrow their playbook. Whether you're starting with $1,000 or $100,000, there are 13 habits that can help you chart a path toward a long, happy, and sound retirement. Today, we'll break down each one with practical examples you can actually use. But first, let me introduce my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who is officially trading in summer sun for her pumpkin spice and everything. And also, following up on our last episode, I just want to remind everyone, when we talked about beneficiaries, when is the last time you had a beneficiary review on all your accounts? It's very, very important to at least do that on an annual basis, or you might not have done it sometime. And I can give you many examples of people that in my 35-year career have not done it. And then I brought them up to date and made recommendations for what's the right thing for them and how they should implement strategies to pass on their assets to their heirs.
Well, hello, Kurt. And that is a great point because you are right. I mean, fall is a wonderful time. It's my favorite season. And like you said, pumpkin spice everything around my house. And, you know, fall is a great time to review all of your financial strategies. You know, you're talking, like you said, the beneficiaries. I mean, the year is coming to a close faster than we want it to be. And so you want to review all these things and make sure that it's done before the end of the year. But Kurt, I have something I need to share with you. Speaking of pumpkin spice, I am a huge baker. I don't know if you knew this about me, but this weekend I went crazy baking. I did a sourdough bread loaf that was pumpkin. I made a homemade pumpkin pie. I made some pumpkin donuts. All things, I don't know what happened to me this weekend, but I took fall and I went ran with it.
You embraced it. I bake banana bread from time to time, and I've been told it's pretty good. So that's I usually bake it and give it to others. I don't really enjoy it too much myself, but I enjoy cooking and baking as well. So
yes, and the people that I live with, you know, they're like, knock it off, be done with the sweets, because now there's sweets sitting around the house, and someone's got to eat it, right? So maybe I should only do one at a time. But I just threw myself in and I ran with it. So
welcome to fall. That's great.
Yes. And do you like pumpkin spice? Do you like a pumpkin spice latte?
I'm not a big pumpkin pie fan or spice fan, but my mother was. So I'm very well, been around it as a child, as a kid. So.
Okay. And have you ever had chai?
Chai tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah.
I love chai, and that's my fall thing too. A warm cup of chai, not necessarily pumpkin spice, but you know, a warm cup of chai is here to at least keep us warm.
Sounds great.
Well, Kurt, today's topic is such a great one. And learning from people who build their wealth and strategy and discipline can really help anyone looking to create and protect their own retirement.
Absolutely. Today we'll lean in on an excellent Kiplinger article, The Smart Way to Retire, 13 Habits to Steal from the Wealthy, for many of today's details.
All right, Kurt. Well, let's kick things off with habit number one. And what is one of the most common traits you see among wealthy retirees?
They, bottom line, they pay themselves first. then usually make it, they make it automatic. I've done it for years. In other words, every week I consistently put so much into my investments and I don't deviate from that. Instead of saving what happens to be left over at the end of the month, I make sure I pay myself first. And there's a lot of my clients I've enforced, not enforced, but encouraged them to do so. And just take a piece of your paycheck going straight into their future.
Yeah. And it's so hard to be selfish sometimes. And I wouldn't even call this selfishness, but just putting yourself first once in a while, because I'm sure throughout your working career, and especially when, you know, you own your own company, you don't ever put yourself first. You're constantly worrying about other things and you're putting the company first. But in reality, it's just so important to pay yourself out first, like you said. So kind of like treating savings as a bill, right? That you can't skip. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Think of it as paying your future self. A lot of retirees I've worked with set up automatic transfers of often 10%, 15%, or even 20%. Some pick a number and just say, here, take out $2,500 a week or $50. I mean, it's basically based upon what they feel comfortable with. But the most important thing is to save the money. Into a retirement account, like a 401k, IRA, studies back this up. People who automatically save end up with a much bigger balance than those who don't, according to the article.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And remember that money that you are working so hard for, let it work for you. You know, put it into those accounts because let it work for you, which also makes sense. I mean, this all makes sense because it's an automatic. You never miss it. Right, Kurt?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the beauty of it. Your wealth grows in the background while you're busy living your life.
So once you've got the habit of paying yourself first, what is the next move?
Well, the next move or the next best habit is about keeping your money working hard for you instead of you working harder. Wealthy retirees don't let cash pile up into accounts that earns little or no interest. They make every dollar work very hard like a job, whether it's in stocks, ETFs, or even high yield savings accounts.
Yeah, I was getting ahead of you, huh? So yes, you are right. I mean, like I said earlier, you want to make that money that you worked hard for work on its own. And even something simple like a savings account can make a difference if you pick the correct one for you.
That's correct. It can. Right now, many high yield accounts are paying between 4% and 5% annual interest, according to this article. Compare that to leaving cash in a traditional checking, where it might earn close to zero, or I've run across a lot of people who have that. These have money sitting earning no interest at all, and I don't understand why. And with inflation running about 2.35%, money that just sits at low interest accounts actually loses value over the course of time.
Wow, Kurt. So even $1,000 can grow just by putting it somewhere smarter instead of letting it just gather dust. Now, Kurt, I just want to ask you a personal question here. What do you think about a high yield savings account versus a regular savings account? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, again, there's so many opportunities out there, whether it be Fidelity, whether it be Vanguard, even your local bank may have high yield savings. And again, a lot of it's based upon the dollar amount you put into. Trying to capitalize on the highest yield, the highest return is the best thing to do for your own personal well-being and financial goals and objectives.
Are there typically rules about that? I mean, if you put money in a high yield savings account, can you take it out like a savings account, or how does that really work?
Most times they just may want you to maintain a certain balance. So in other words, like if it like Vanguard, if you have $50,000 in an Admiral fund, it pays a higher yield than a traditional just regular money market at Vanguard. So again, maintaining a stronger balance makes a big difference. But other than that, you can always pull the money out. There's no restrictions per se.
Okay. And we've covered paying yourself first and keeping your money moving and working for you. So what's the next big habit wealthy retirees share about this?
Well, they live below their means. And I just don't mean clipping coupons. It's a mindset. Wealthy retirees often see money not as something to spend, but something to invest. And that's a big shift from how many people think about it.
And you're right. When you say, you know, live below your means, everyone, including myself, we all think clipping coupons, making sure that, you know, you buy the cheap stuff from now on. You don't get what you work so hard for and you have to live a completely different lifestyle. But that's just not the case. And because a lot of people assume that once you have money, you can just spend freely also.
Yes, but in reality, many wealthy people avoid lifestyle creep. They spend less than they earn, set aside the difference, and keep wealth accumulation on track. It's about prioritizing your financial goals and objectives. Research backs this up too, because the article notes that the Employee Benefit Research Institute found retirees who overspent early often run into trouble later in life for their planning for their retirement.
So even at higher income levels, it really comes down to discipline, like living on, say, 70, 80% of what you bring in and then saving the rest. What's another big difference between people who build wealth and those who tend to struggle?
The wealthy steer clear of costly debt, especially high interest debt like credit cards. Right now, the average credit card APR more than 22%. According to the article, if you're only making minimum payments, interest charges eat away at your money and can trap you in a cycle that is tough to escape, sometimes never even get out of.
No kidding. And Kurt, I think this kind of reminds me of what financial services professionals tend to say, and I want to know your opinion about this too, about expensive cars. You know, we're talking the European vehicles, and a lot of people think, like, when I have money, I want to buy a nice car, take a loan out on it. And what are your thoughts on that?
Again, it gets back to the lifestyle creep. In other words, you try to stay within your means and, having a shiny brand new car that's $100,000 is not always the answer. That money could be better served in an investment account and providing you with a financial future that is going to be comfortable and safe for retirement. The cars, they come and go, and they depreciate and not appreciate. And I always stress that with clients, that when they have made a lot of money in the markets and they want to take it out. So I always ask them, if I may ask, what are you going to do? Oh, I want to buy a car. Do you realize it's going to depreciate? Mm-hmm. And do you really need to go down that road? You know, and buying maybe a used car is better, or out of a lease. And try to be as prudent and thoughtful as you can with your financial goals and objectives.
Yeah. And I've seen this joke a little bit too. And I've seen a joke that's kind of around that says the really wealthy people are the ones that drive kind of crappy used vehicles. And I think it's true. I mean, I see people around my life too. And the ones that drive very nice brand new vehicles can't necessarily afford it. And they have loans out, and it's just not worth it. And like you said, Kurt, that kind of debt feels like quicksand. The harder you struggle, the deeper you end up sinking.
Yep, absolutely. You nailed it, Jacqueline. And the research is eye-opening. The article points to a recent survey that found that 72% of older Americans carry debt. More than half say they feel overwhelmed by it. The wealthy approach is simple. Pay off the high interest balances quickly and first. Some even use strategies like the debt avalanche, because attacking the highest interest rates first will save you a lot more money in the long run. And I always recommend it to clients too. What's the highest interest rate? Pay them off first. Get rid of them. Mm-hmm. They're costing you a lot more money.
Well, and before you go on, I just want to say, not all debt is bad too. I mean, we're talking about some debt, but not all debt is bad. And having all of your debt paid off is a really hard goal. I mean, it is worth accomplishing, but it's hard. And so just going into kind of explaining, maybe, Kurt, what the debt avalanche is and how it works.
Yeah, and before I touch base on that, one thing I stress with clients is that when you own a home and you start building wealth and you have assets, you got to consider it like you're building your own, you have your own bank. And if you do want to use debt, use it on something that's going to increase your net worth. It's going to increase your overall value of your portfolio. There's nothing wrong with using it prudently and smartly. But again, some people get carried away. And like I said, with that lifestyle creep.
Absolutely.
But here's how the debt avalanche works. List all your debts along with their balances, minimum payments, and interest rates. Make minimum payments on all debts to stay current. That's very important. Focus extra payments on debts with the highest interest rates first, regardless of the balance. Once the debt is paid off, roll those payments into the next highest interest rate debt, and repeat the process till all debts are gone.
Great points. And like you said, I mean, list them all out. Make a list. Lay it all out on the table so you know what you're working with here. And how can a financial services professional like yourself, Kurt, potentially help someone develop some of these habits.
An industry professional can make a huge difference in this area. And I can give you a quick example. This is really a story worth sharing.
Yes.
Back in the 90s, I had a client that came to me that was referred to me by an executive in Manhattan. And she was going through a divorce and she got a rather sizable settlement back then. Mm-hmm. And when she came into my office, she was carrying $40,000 of credit card debt back then. And
wow.
One of the things before she invested the money, I met her in her office in Princeton. And I said, put all your credit cards on your desk. And she did. I said, get all the statements. She brought all the statements. We paid them all off first. And I made her cut up all the cards. And
woo!
I just saw her sweating. But 6 months later, she said, that was one of the best things that I've ever done. She says, now I'm on a budget. I only have a couple credit cards. She had like 20 credit cards. Mm-hmm. But by virtue of that, I put her on the path and then she made a big difference in her financial life.
Well, and like you said, Kurt, I mean, for me too, having something physical out in front of me makes a huge difference. I mean, with all these credit cards, with all these loans, everything is electronic now. And so I just don't think it feels the same way. And it doesn't really necessarily feel real. You know, credit cards, all you do is swipe, right? And that's just having it out in front of you, like you said, printing off the statement, having the credit cards up there and cutting them physically really will get you the best outcome.
It is. And, you know, like I said, when I sat down with her to do that, I was a little nervous too, because I thought she'd get upset. But after it was all over, she says, I'd have never done it without you. I've heard that many, many times. So like I said, having a financial service professional can help you turn these habits into a personalized plan, from setting up an automatic savings, creating strategies to pay off debt. They provide guidance, accountability, and expertise. Their job is to help you stay disciplined, avoid mistakes, and make steady progress towards retirement goals. As I always like to say, I help you stay in your lane.
Yeah, well, that describes you perfectly, Kurt, and I love that. Can you explain to our listeners how they can get a hold of you to talk to you about all of this and see that that is who you are as a person?
Yeah, listeners can, again, visit my website at highvalueconsulting.org, or they can call my office that's located at 835 North Route 100 in Bechtelsville, PA, inside the Aikens accounting firm. And my phone number or direct dial is 484-431-2874 to discuss how we can answer your questions, address your concerns about saving enough for retirement, your financial strategies, or any parts of your retirement. It's our goal to help you prepare for retirement you've worked so hard for.
During today's show so far, we've been discussing some of the common habits that people who have been able to methodically build up a sizable amount of assets tend to share. We want what they're learning or what they did, right? And so what do you have next for us, Kurt?
The Kiplinger article, The Smart Way to Retire, 13 Habits to Steal from the Wealthy, notes that people who have achieved financial success also aggressively plan for their financial futures. Creating a roadmap or a financial plan for retirement that includes savings goals, expected living expenses, investment strategies, while also planning for unexpected costs like medical bills or long-term care costs associated with retirement. It comes down to setting clear financial savings goals, estimating living expenses, choosing an investment strategy that fits, but also means planning for those financial surprises that can derail even the best of strategies.
Yeah, and I know it's a common question, you know, long-term care costs. What is that going to cost me? What can I expect? And truly nobody knows, but you can create a financial plan to be ready for that when those things come up, you know, and think it out thoroughly. Few things are more powerful than financial discipline, Kurt.
Yeah, and the numbers prove that. Employee Benefit Research Institute in 2025 Spending in Retirement Survey referenced in the article and reveals disciplined spenders end up with about twice as much saved, but those who actually plan ahead save even more. In fact, planners typically retire with 2.5 times more savings than those who do not have a plan or strategy at all.
Just having that roadmap in place can give you a huge advantage when it comes to building a more secure retirement. What about after you've built that retirement roadmap? Do most people just set it and forget about it, Kurt?
Not the wealthy ones are a lot of, not my clients anyway, because what I do is once we have a financial plan in place, we do annual reviews minimum, sometimes more than that. Another comment has, like I said, we're meeting with your financial service professional on a regular basis for checkups on the strategies you've implemented, changes that may arise, optimizing the investments, and catch blind spots you may miss on your own.
Kind of like getting a second set of eyes on your strategy, right, Kurt?
Absolutely. And it pays off, often literally. A recent survey by the Financial Planning Association cited in the article found that retirees who regularly meet with their financial service professional have, on average, 15% more in savings than those who don't. That guidance and accountability really can make a measurable difference in your financial life.
I think I got it. Building wealth isn't just about having a strategy. It's also about keeping that strategy fresh with the help of a financial services professional. Here's something I'm curious about, though. Do wealthier retirees often live on a budget, or is that just advice for the rest of us?
They absolutely do. I mean, the foundation to a prudent plan is having a budget, sticking to it, and lining it up with your goals and objectives. It can make a big difference in your retirement funds lasting a lot longer. A budget helps control expenses and make sure your savings don't run out too soon.
What kind of budgets are we really talking about here?
Okay, there's a couple strategies. Some follow what they call a 50-30-20 rule, which means 50% is for essentials or needs. 30% is for wants. Yeah, I'd like to have this or buy that. 20% is for savings or debt. Others prefer a 60-30-10 approach once they've retired. The income becomes more fixed. The point isn't the exact formula, but it's having a structure that matches your retirement and your goals. Again, is what's in line with your goals and objectives.
And you mentioned values play a role too, right, Kurt?
Exactly. Wealthy retirees don't just budget for numbers. They budget for what matters most. For some of it, it's travel. For others, it's philanthropic or spending time with family. And once essentials and savings goals are covered, it's important to embrace guilt-free spending on the things that bring joy.
I like that. It's not about pinching pennies. It's about making sure your money supports the life you really want. Let's talk about timing here. Is there a common thread among wealthier people when it comes to when they start investing?
Definitely. Wealthy retirees almost always invest early and often. The earlier you start, the better off you are, saying in your 20s or your 30s. I started when I was 31 or 32. I wish I had started sooner. And I can give you an example of that with a couple of my clients. So the more money that you have to grow over time and the compounded interest becomes your friend and puts you in a far better position for your long-term goals and objectives.
And what is that example that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I have a client. She's been with me a long time. Her son graduated from Penn State. He got a good job out of college, and she encouraged him to come in and meet with me. And I encouraged him to start saving immediately. And he went kind of like reluctantly, kicking and screaming, as I like to say, or as we all did when we were younger. And that he started at 25 years old. And all he had was, he got a good job. He wasn't making six figures, a little under that. But I convinced him to at least save 15% of his earnings. He's just turned 30 and he has almost $500,000 saved. And that's between the financial plan I helped put together and his savings in his retirement. And when he was in my office the other day, he says, I couldn't have done it without you. I said, you're ahead of your peer group. He says, I am.
That's what everyone strives for, right? And that means it's not just about investing big amounts, but it's about investing consistently and letting time do the heavy lifting, like you said. And here's something I've heard before. The wealthy think differently about what they own. Is that true?
It's very true. Wealthy retirees tend to prioritize assets over liabilities, like stocks, real estate, rental properties that generate income. Liabilities, on the other hand, like car loans, heavy mortgages, tend to drain your resources. That simple distinction makes a big difference over time.
So they're constantly adding things that work for them instead of things that work against them.
Again, that's what I referenced earlier. You're building a bank. People that have great wealth, they look at their assets, their house, and everything they save as they're building their own bank. The article explains and surveys how many wealthy retirees hold 70% or more of their net worth in assets. They also are not afraid to simplify. If vehicle is sitting unused or a property no longer makes sense, they sell it. It's just not about selling the memory. It's about freeing up resources, reducing stress, and keeping life simpler, and also putting that work, that money to work somewhere else that works hard for you.
That really registers with me, Kurt. Focusing on what builds your future and letting go of what just holds you back.
Yeah, I'm glad that it resonates. Building wealth isn't just about numbers. It's about choices. By focusing on the assets that support your goals and create both the financial growth and confidence.
Well, and what's another, we're going to kind of skip ahead now here. In the Kiplinger article, The Smart Way to Retire, 13 Habits to Steal from the Wealthy, what does that say?
The article, The Smart Way to Retire, 13 Habits to Steal, explains that the wealthy often make their money work for them. One big habit is using passive income. That means creating money streams that don't require constant effort, like dividends from stocks, rental properties, or interest from bonds and savings. It's money working for you instead of you working the other way around, in other words. So in other words, your money's always working hard and you don't want to work harder.
And this is how they keep their wealth growing, even when they're not on the clock?
That's right. IRS data noted in the article shows the average millionaire has around several income streams that could include dividend income, real estate rentals, capital gains from investments, even lending activity. The key is diversity and building multiple pipelines of income.
Well, and now that you're saying this, I think of examples like Amazon's Jeff Bezos. His actual salary is tiny compared to his net worth. It's the assets, not the paycheck, that really make the difference.
That's a great example. His Amazon shares are what created his real wealth. For everyday investors, it doesn't have to be billions. It could be just setting aside one or two income streams to create the financial freedom over time.
Which is encouraging because it means just about anyone can start building passive income, even on a smaller scale. Here's another question for you, Kurt. Do wealthier people usually know more about money, or do they just hire experts to do everything for them?
They usually know more. A big difference is that wealthy people tend to build financial knowledge over time, understanding how investments, taxes, and retirement accounts work to reduce the chances of making costly mistakes.
Which makes sense because you don't need to be an expert, but the more you understand, the better decisions you can make. Also, this is another part of your strategy where working closely with a financial services professional will be beneficial.
The knowledge gaps are real. The article highlights a CNBC survey that showed nearly half of Americans don't even know that their 401k is invested in. The lack of awareness can really limit their financial potential.
Well, Kurt, that is a great way to end today's show because we have run out of time. How can our listeners get a hold of you and schedule that no obligation consultation?
Again, they can reach me. My phone is 484-431-2874. I'm located at 835 North Route 100 in Bechtelsville, PA, associated with the Aikens Accounting Firm. My website is highvalueconsulting.org, and reach out and I'll provide you that complimentary consultation and help you achieve those financial goals and objectives.
Yeah, let's make some wealthy retirees, right, Kurt?
Sounds great. Absolutely, Jeff.
All right. Well, thank you. And that does it for another episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt High.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt High at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.